Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church of Castle Rock, Colorado. New Hope is a church that puts people first. You can listen to our sermons and podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any other popular podcast platforms. This week, Pastor Russ brings us a sermon called Does Prayer Change Things? It's from the series Why Pray and comes from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15.
I'm not sure I remember exactly the occasion, but I do remember the question, and the question went like this: if God can't answer that, then what's the point of praying? I don't remember whether it was a time when there was a child who was suffering in a hospital and just needed a turnaround. I don't know if it was a time at an Alzheimer's unit. I don't remember the exact occasion, but I do remember the question. God can't answer that prayer. What's the point? The reason I remember the question is because I was the one asking it. I was the one asking it because we have been together to places, and we have, anyone who's lived long at all has been to places. Anyone who's prayed understands that there are unanswered prayers and has wondered why. Going beyond the normal unanswered prayers, if we didn't get the job I was hoping for, the house fell through, or the school, or some of those things. Or I'm talking about some really serious stuff. We've been doing a series. I'm closing it off this week on why should I pray? Why should I pray a couple weeks ago if God already knows what I want? Why should I pray? Does God really change anything? Was last week. And I'm kind of doing a second part of that today is, why should I pray amidst all the unanswered prayers? I know some people will say, "What? You know, you can't answer. You can't ask those kind of questions." I don't think you cannot ask those questions. You know, when you're online and you're trying to do something, and one of those things shows up and says, "Prove you're a human and not a robot," and you have to do this kind of thing and show that you're awake, and you don't always get it, and. I think these questions prove you're human. I think they prove you've got a human heart. I think they prove that we don't have just a robotic set of answers for faith. And we should never accept robotic, glib, easy answers. Beware of those who give them. Beware of those who give that an easy answer if it doesn't contain in it some of the anxiety and the ache of human existence. Beware if it doesn't include people who've walked halls of ERs and seen families crying, or to walk over to the cancer wards and just the long, hard slog. Beware those who give answers and they haven't been to an Alzheimer's unit or suffered it in their own family. To watch someone slip away, to pray for someone to finally just pass and they won't pass. Beware of the easy answers of people who haven't walked across the places like the Fort Logan and the National Cemeteries and been impressed with the acres of headstones and know that those represent untold numbers of unanswered prayers. For the people there, their family, the people they were fighting, their families. But you don't even have to go there. You can just go here locally and walk through the children's section of any cemetery. And if that doesn't break your heart, if that doesn't conjure up something, questions, then you might want to check to see if you're human. You might want to take one of those CAPTCHA things for your own soul. This morning I'm going to talk about what is the crisis of unanswered prayer. And when I'm doing so, I know that I am treading on some really holy ground here. And that this is the place where we don't want to talk about, but we all live there. And it's for the big things, but it is also embedded right in the heart of the prayer that we've been looking at, the Lord's Prayer. The simple part where it says, give us this day our daily bread, where we are told that we can entrust God for the basics. Just trust God. God will give you what you need for this day. And I think that's true. But there's days when it's not, right? There's days when it's not, when people have prayed for just what they needed of that day and it wasn't enough. There wasn't enough food. Or maybe it was a time of drought and a whole region and tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people are dying because it won't rain. If God can't answer that prayer or bring food that's just across the border or just across in that building and get it to the people here, if God can't answer that kind of stuff, what's the point? Unanswered prayer is a crisis. It is a crisis because when we look at it and really look at unanswered prayer, when we've gotten past all the glib answers, when we've gotten past all the easy stuff, well, you just didn't pray the right way, or you just need to do it this way with the right faith. When you strip all of that away and you still have at the core something that is real, something that is good, something that is true, and there is unanswered prayer. When you get to that point, I believe it is the end of prayer as we know it. And it is also the beginning of a different kind of praying. I don't have the answer of why prayers aren't always answered, or even seldom answered. But I can share what I have learned and where I think that crosses this particular prayer in our lives today. I'm going to say some things, and some people say that I just don't believe that, and you're welcome to that. I don't bring what I have and the things that I've learned out of this prayer in my own life as a way to replace or tell you that you are wrong, but to maybe offer a different way of moving forward if what you've got isn't working. The first thing I would say, and the first thing that impressed me, and one of the big changes for me where this became the beginning of a different kind of prayer was when I came close to and recognized that I was in good company with unanswered prayer. The one who invites us to pray understood unanswered prayer. Jesus' prayers often were unanswered. Think of the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prays and wrestles and sweats so much anxiety that he's sweating blood. And the fact that he said, not what I want, but what you want, is a testimony to his own soul and his own heart, but it is also, but this is what I would have wanted. Or a couple hours before that, at the Last Supper, when that long prayer in the book of John about praying for the unity of the disciples and the church that's to follow, and that they might be one as we are one. How's that oneness thing working out in the church and with religious people? How's that oneness thing working out in a world today where there's over 40,000 different denominations and affiliations, 40,000 different reasons why people can't even celebrate at the same communion table that Jesus was at when he prayed that prayer? How's that working? The prayer that he prays earlier when he looks out over Jerusalem and he prays and he says, how long have I longed to bring you together? You don't know what makes for peace, and his heart is breaking. Was an unanswered prayer. Or right here, the prayer that's before us this morning. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, even as in heaven. I didn't read the headlines this morning. I don't know for sure. I'm guessing it didn't say the breakout of the kingdom of heaven has finally arrived here on earth. Every day we pray that prayer, every time that the one who authored it prayed it, and it still hasn't come true. At the heart of unanswered prayer is one whose prayers were unanswered, and it was Jesus. So this has to be something different than just kind of a vending machine sort of spirituality that if you say the right prayers in the right way, put the right tokens in with the right kind of attitude, that then you will get something that you want. And that was a turning point for me, I have to tell you. I have to tell you that was a turning point because it was in there that I began to recognize that my own prayers, our prayers, it seems to me at some point, every true prayer, deep prayer, is an extension of Jesus' prayer in the garden. It's an extension of Jesus' prayer at that table saying, here's how you pray. It's an extension of the unanswered prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth even as in heaven. Mine is the specific in part prayer of what the full prayer that is there. And when I am giving voice, when we are giving voice to those things that break our heart, we are giving voice to the things that break God's heart at our best. When we are open, when we are open to God and we are open to what God's trying to do, we are giving voice to the ache of God. We've already talked about just how wrong-headed it is to think that somehow when we pray, we have to do something and pray certain ways to get God's attention. We have to somehow get a disinterested deity or someone who's distracted or get God's attention. I have come to believe that the pain in our life and the suffering that we go through is the pain and the suffering of God that's working in and through us, and we become awake to it in this one instant to what God is involved with throughout the entire universe. Far from trying to get God's attention, it's a way of waking us up to the very heart and the ache of God. And that therefore we are not only giving voice to the heart of God, we get to be part of the answer because we are aware of it now and we are praying next to Jesus as well. So maybe then the first thing we should be doing, maybe the first activity we should be giving ourselves to is to somehow be captivated by the one who has invited us to pray. Somehow be captivated by the heart of God. Somehow be captivated by the ache and the one who is praying. To find the places where God's heart breaks, find the things where God's heart delights, to be captivated by that, to be captivated by the one who invites us to prayer in the first place. So what does it mean to be captivated by Christ? It means to be captivated by his heart, captivated by what breaks his heart, what captivated by what brings joy, but it also means to be captivated by the very work of Christ. In our passage, the prayer that we pray around here every week, did you know that there's an error in it? Ask your Catholic friends, they'll tell you that when we pray this part that says, yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever, amen, that's not in the original. And they're right. So why do we pray that part? I think it is because of the perspective of being captivated by the work and the mission of Christ. I think it is perfectly legitimate if you wanted to stop with the part that just says, and then deliver us from evil or the evil. And that remembers that that prayer was prayed on the other side of the cross and the great trial that was to come. But when they were trying to fashion this in a prayer for the church on the other side of the empty tomb, it seemed good, and I think it's perfectly appropriate as well to pray this part of it and says, we're praying all these things because you're the one whose power, glory is forever and ever and amen. That because it is, our prayers are always prayed in the light of the life, the death, and the resurrection of Christ. And that the work of Christ is what carries us forward. And the work of Christ is ultimately what is the answer to all our unanswered prayers. That our unanswered prayers and Jesus' unanswered prayers are more than just yes or no, that there is a door number three, which is not yet. In fact, I think all prayers are answered with not yet. Even the ones that we pray for something amazing to happen, and it happens. Yay, thanks be to God. And that even that's provisional, right? Because then things fall apart for that person too. And that things go downhill for that person, and that things deteriorate in that situation. We win this battle, but then other things happen. So even that's provisional. We only get to celebrate in part what we are looking forward to in full, let alone the no's and the things that we don't get. All of those things are not yet because we're able to have the courage to pray because we have the courage of the one who, of the death and the resurrection. And that we are participating in and praying with the one who is bringing in full what we only know even now in part. That we now get to be part of the answer. We get to be part of that work of thy kingdom come on earth, even as in heaven. That is part of our work. Why do we pray in the midst of unanswered prayers? Because those prayers, rather than be a sign of God's abandonment or disinterest, become the meeting place, become the intersection between the great work of the Spirit in our life and in our world. It's there. It's there where prayer begins in a new way. It's there where faith begins in a new way. It's there where our work takes on a different edge because of what God is trying to do in and through us. Sometimes when we talk like this, it sounds passive. It just sounds like, well, we're resigned to all the things that God's going to do, so we don't have to worry about it anymore. Just leave it in the hands of God. There's a part of trust, but that's obviously not what Jesus is doing here, nor what Jesus is inviting his disciples to do then, nor now. Sometimes I tell that story. It's an old story, you know, and I was reminded of it this week when we did a memorial service here for someone who was one of the original homesteaders of this area a little further south, and reminded me of that, just that funny little story of the about 150 years ago, the farmer who started and homesteaded and took a piece of land and converted it into a thriving farm. And at some point, the minister came out to visit him, and today I'll call him Bill, Farmer Bill. You can insert any name you want to. So it comes out and says, Bill, and trying to sound spiritual, you know how ministers are. And said, Bill, isn't this amazing what you and God have been able to accomplish? And Bill, who stopped and said, yeah, you should have seen it when God had it all by himself. The fact that God's involved in it does not mean that we get to be resigned, but there is an active participation in this world that we want. When we pray, thy kingdom come on earth even as in heaven, there's an invitation. And by the way, jump in. Pray next to me. Be a part of this. Be captivated by who I am and be captivated by the work that is in front of you. Make that your work. Make that the biggest concern of your life. Do I think prayer changes things? I absolutely do. What I don't think prayer changes, as I said last week, is it doesn't change God's mind. That's already settled. But it can begin to change things, beginning with us, but then I think it does go further. And I don't have any proof on this, by the way, but this is me, and I'm telling you, I think prayer changes things. I think what we have learned in the 20th and 21st century is how much of life that seems solid and tangible is really just energy. And I think that prayer is spiritual energy, and I think we can impact this world just like we do with our physical energy and just like we do with our mental energy. Just like we do with the physical stuff, when we build a hospital, when we build schools, when we build churches, we think we're changing something. We are refashioning, we're giving our best to it and fashioning something. When we are putting our minds to work and we are coming up with cures for things like COVID or cancer or Alzheimer's, when we are trying to come up with new ways to get food and water to people who are hungry and thirsty, when we are trying to solve some of the great problems, we change things, and it is just with the pure mental energy. So I believe also, and I've seen it too many times not to take this seriously, that when there are people who are praying, there is a spiritual energy that sometimes tips scales. Sometimes it changes people's hearts. Sometimes it creates a generosity even within the people who are praying. Sometimes it channels energy so that somebody decides, I'm going to work on that problem. And I don't know how that connects any more than I know how all the energy of the universe works, but I believe it's there. I believe we do get to change things. And I think prayer is a part of that. Certainly, once we understand what it is we're trying to change and what we're not. I think especially in those places, where it feels like we just hit another brick wall. And we pray anyway. And we work anyway. And we brainstorm anyway. Because I believe that's when we are partnering with the one who invited us to pray. I was watching one of those series, and we did a lot of binge watching the last 18 months, didn't we? And there was a series about a particular hospital in New York. And it was known, among other things, for this neurosurgery and working with some of the most complex surgeries having to do with brain cancer, particularly. And the doctor who was involved and who we were following along in his team, it became clear after several weeks and as they told his story There were no ultimate victories. Every victory that he had in his surgery or his treatments was provisional at best. At best. And the end was always a foregone conclusion. By the time he got those people, it was always a foregone conclusion. And yet every day it shows him, and they would come to the ER, the OR, and they would bow in prayer and ask that somehow they would be used to be part of the healing and that God would use them. And they went after it again, and they threw themselves against that brick wall again. Part of his backstory was his own father suffered from the very disease he was trying to cure. And so you know what happened to his prayers. You know what happened to all the prayers of somehow that that would be healed. And it was an unanswered prayer in his father's case, but it also did something inside of him that channeled his energy, his life, his physical, his mental energies in such a way that now he was going to be part of this solution. And whether it gets solved in his lifetime or not hardly matters, because he's giving himself to the work of the not yet. Leaning in with everything he's got to the not yet. When we pray, and why should we pray in the midst of unanswered prayers? It's because it is the place where we get to begin to pray in a different way. It is the end of all kinds of different ways of praying that feel more magical, that treats God as somehow a vending machine. It is the beginning of a prayer of the one who is right beside us praying and inviting us to join with him to pray, and more than that, to be the answer to the prayers that begin with God and somehow get through to us. It is the beginning of a new engagement with the future that is ours, the future that we will get to see, hopefully in part, that we believe that Jesus is bringing in full. It is the future of an unfinished and broken creation, and it merits our best work, and it merits our best prayers. Until we go from not yet to now here. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Voices of Hope. If you enjoyed our podcast, please rate and review it and share it with your friends. Go in peace and have a wonderful week.